now that you're here. Amen. Let us remain standing this morning and open our Bibles to the book of John. And we'll read from verses 15 and 16 for our text. John chapter 3, verse 15. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have, or echoes, everlasting life. In fact, in verse 15, where it says, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, that word have also is echo. In John 3:36, we read, he that believeth on the Son hath, or echoes, everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. John chapter 5, verse 26, for as the Father hath, or echoes, life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have, or echo, life in himself. And John 6, 47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me echoes everlasting life. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we have read several verses of Scripture this morning that speak of the believer, he that believeth on me shall echo everlasting life or eternal life. And we know there's only one source of eternal life, and that is your life. We saw in Scripture how you echoed it. We saw in Scripture how your Son echoed it. And we see how we as sons echo your life. And so, Father, we want to know this morning how it is and how that echo is to be performed in this, the bodies of this death. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help us to understand your purpose and plan for us and how it is, Lord, that this body that was born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come forth to the world speaking lies, could actually be found echoing your life. And so we just humbly submit ourselves to thy word, O God. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now this morning I would like to speak about the life of our Father, his eternal life, as it is meant to be echoed by our vessels. Now, when we think of the word echo, we think in terms of what comes to us, we give back. Now, when we think of the word echo, we think in terms of a reflection. An echo, not just of the sound itself, not just of the words itself, but actually in the same way that was given. Because people can parrot words, and they can have totally opposite meanings. You know, two young guys could be looking at a woman, they could say, one could say, that woman, she's beautiful. And he means it. You can tell by the inflection of his voice, he means what he's saying. But the other guy could say, that woman, she's beautiful. And he says the exact same words, but says just the complete opposite. And so you can parrot this message. You can quote Brother Branham all you want to, and you can quote yourself right into hell. You see? But we're talking about an echo. We're talking about giving back the same thing in the same way. Not just words. And words are cheap. Brother Brown said, don't preach me a sermon, live me a sermon. So, what is this eternal life? Well, we know it's the life of our Father. It's supposed to be, and we know it's supposed to be in us, but what is it supposed to do? Not just stay in us so that we can hoard it to ourselves, but it's given to us, and we're made in such a way as to be able to echo it back so that others may receive what we have received. John himself said, you know, the life that was manifested, he said, we're declaring it to you so that you also might have eternal life. In John 14, 12, we see an echoing forth of the word of life, of the Spirit of Christ. That's what John 14, 12 is all about. It's not about performing miracles and running around and, you know, thus saith the Lord, this and thus. You know, it's not trying to be a prophet. It's not trying to be, you know, have a resurrection ministry or a sign of Messiah. It's simply the very life, the very things that Jesus did. If you have His same Spirit in you, you will do them. Brother Branham said many times, hundreds of times, he said, if you've got the spirit of Dillinger, you're going to have guns and rob banks. If you have the spirit of Mozart in you, you're going to compose music. And he said, and if you have the spirit of Jesus Christ, you're going to live like Him, act like Him, talk like Him. And the works that He did, you will do also. That's the law of life. That's Genesis 1:11. That's the every seed after its kind. It's not about being able to work miracles, but it's the very life of the Father living itself out in us, just as the very life of the Father lived itself out in His firstborn Son. Amen. And that is what Brother Ram's sermon on the token is all about. It is about the life of God, God life, echoing in you as it echoed in the Son of God. From his sermon, the token, Brother Branham said, and it displays His power. John 14:12 says, He that believeth on Me, the works that I do shall he do also. New Testament is new covenant, new life. It shows Jesus has met every requirement for us that God required to make us back truly sons and daughters of God, under the blood, where there is no more condemnation. In Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in, he didn't say those that just profess it, but those that are in, not those who are believing in, that's what Brother Branham says right here, but those who are in Christ Jesus that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And My word is spirit and life. Oh, couldn't I take a text from that and stay there for a couple more hours? But we'll hurry over it. You see, no more condemnation, free from sin, free from the cares of this world. No condemn. Why? To them that have been by one Spirit baptized into one body, there the blood of the Lamb has been applied. The God of heaven has accepted you. Now catch what he's saying here. The God of heaven has accepted you. And His life is in you. And you are sons and daughters of God. Your character is God's character. What is it? A little pushover? No, sir. God's a God of judgment. He's a God of correct. It must be on the line. Nothing else will do. That's the kind of character you are, because you are the character of your Father. See? So Romans 8:1, as Brother Branham said. How about Romans 8:11? But if the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that's a big if. He, who's this He? Well, that's God's Spirit he's talking about. He, God, that raised up Jesus from the dead, shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, as I've said many times, your mortal body is the body that's capable of dying. That's what the word mortal means. It means capable of dying. He's not talking about the body that's in the grave, the corpse. That's a corpse. It's not a mortal body. It's already dead. But he says, if the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead, God's Spirit, God's life, dwells in you, makes His home in you, hallelujah, then that Spirit in you will quicken this mortal body. Amen. And why do we have so many believers that live carnal? Why do we have so many believers that you can't tell them in their life from the nominal Christian? I'll tell you one thing. The Spirit of God is not in them. Because if it was in them, it would change them. They would live like William Branham lived. Because we know he had the Spirit of God. It'll make them live like Paul lived. A prisoner of Jesus Christ. He's not talking about after you're dead. That's the corpse, as I said. Not a mortal body. Too many people place this after the death, and they place it in the resurrection. But he says mortal body. Mortal means capable of dying. That's why God is the immortal King. Because God cannot die. So he's not speaking of after you are dead here. He's speaking of God's own Spirit in you, quickening you, or making this body come to life through His Spirit living and abiding in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. Why? Because you don't have the Spirit of God in you. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. He's not talking about works. He's not talking about how good you can do things. He's talking about Him living His life through you. If you, through the Spirit, do mortify, do kill off the deeds of this flesh. Now, to mortify means to kill off. So God wants us to kill the actions in your flesh that are flesh-driven. He wants us to echo His life in these bodies, and you cannot do that unless His Spirit is living in you doing it. That's why Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Not I was, I am. Well, when we say the I am, you know, we speak of God, the I am, Jesus said, I am. That means I don't change. It means what I am now, I was before, I am tomorrow. He is the same yesterday, today, forever. I am. It means daily. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm living. Not I was. Too many people place it back there, and that's wrong. Even Brother Branham said, we quoted a few weeks ago, Brother Branham said, I am. It means He is daily. He said, if Paul had to crucify himself daily, what about you and I? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm living. Yet it's not I that's living, but Christ is living in me. Hallelujah. And the life I'm now living in this flesh, he says, I'm living by the faith, by the revelation of the Son of God. Oh, you say, by revelation, that means I've got this mental thing. No, we're going to talk about that this morning. Revelation is not some mental thing that you get. Too many people got a mental conception of this message. Too many people got an intellectual conception. Revelation doesn't mean that. We're going to show you what it means this morning. Hallelujah. It's very dynamic. Very dynamic. Because you can't have revelation without the dynamics. You can go through the mechanics, the actions, but when the dynamic strikes, that's the revelation. That's the gasoline, so to speak. That's the spark. All right, now. So God wants us to echo His life in these bodies, and you cannot do that unless His Spirit is in you doing it. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So I ask you this morning, who's leading you? God? His Spirit? Or man? For you have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And listen closely to verse 16 because it's very important how you read this. Notice he says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, who is the Spirit that he's talking about? He's talking about God's own Spirit bearing witness with your spirit. Not your spirit bearing witness with His Spirit. Years ago, you remember the comedian, the black comedian, Bill Cosby. There's a girl, 25 years old, and she said, Bill Cosby is my father. He said, she's not my daughter. Oh, yes, he's my father because he paid for my college. She said, this girl was born out of wedlock. And Bill Cosby and his wife and this girl, they're all friends in college. And when Bill made his money, he felt sorry for the girl because in college she had gotten pregnant. And so he thought, well, I'll do something for her. I'll take care of her. I'll pay for her daughter's education so she'll get a good start in this world. So the girl said, because he gave me this gift. And how many people, because God gave them a gift, they think that they're gods? Doesn't the Bible say that the gifts are unto the rebellious also? But because he gave me this gift, I bear witness he's my father. And Bill Cosby said, I don't bear witness that she's my daughter. Now you can bear witness all you want. The Catholics bear witness that God is their father. They say, kumbaya, kumbaya. You know, we're one in the Spirit, one in the Lord. You know, he's our father, all that kind of stuff. Listen, it doesn't matter what you bear witness to is what he's bearing witness to. So we have to ask ourselves, how does God bear witness with you? Because he says, for the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. He's not talking about our spirit bearing witness with His Spirit. The whole world of Christendom does that. But he's talking about God bearing witness. So we must ask the question, how does God bear witness with our spirit? We will get to that in just a moment, but let's finish verse 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. That word glorified, endoxazo. It means the glory of God magnified in our being. What does that mean? It means His values. It means His opinions. It means His judgments expressed in you. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that that shall be revealed where? In us. I'll ask the question, how does God bear witness with your spirit that you are indeed one of His children? He could have you do it the same way that he did his own son. That's the only way he could do it. Because God is not a respecter of persons. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi 3, 6 says, I am God, I change not. God said, I am not a respecter of persons. He's not a man that he could lie. So what he did for the son, he's got to do for you. Jesus had to be born again. Jesus had to actually have received the Spirit of God. Jesus had to have that Holy Ghost baptism, as Brother Branham said, in the Jordan River. All right. Even though he was born without sin, even though he was born, the spirit that he had by birth was God life. But he had to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and so do you. Now, so how does God bear witness then? You say, well, I guess it's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. No, it's not. It's not what Jesus said. So I ask the question, how did God bear witness to Jesus? Now, you can talk all you want and say that you bear witness to the truth and to God, but Jesus himself said in John 5:31, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. So it doesn't matter what you say about yourself. It doesn't matter. A few verses later, John 5:36, he said, but I have a greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. Oh. So what are those works? 414 times. You can look up on the internet, or if you got the thing we put together, Brother Branham's sermons. 414 times Brother Branham doesn't quote John 14:12 as the works that I do. He quotes it as the things that I do. He said the life that he lived, you will live it. The actions that he did, you will do those. The things that he spoke of, you'll speak of those. The things that I do. You see, people have this hypersensitivity to the word work. Works. You know, they think you're getting into works. They think you're getting into some, trying to manifest something. You can't manifest anything, brother, sister, except for what you are. And if you have a new birth, you cannot help but to express God life. You understand? But I have a greater witness than that of John. For the works that the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, they bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. John 10:25. Jesus answered them. He said, I told you, you believe me not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Therefore, if God's Spirit is to bear witness to your spirit that you are indeed a true son or daughter of God, then God must do the same thing that he did for his son, or he is not the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now notice Brother Branham said in the token that when you're born again, God has accepted you. And when he places his spirit in you, your character is transformed into his character. Your life is taken over by his life. Didn't Brother Branham say he wants to borrow my body? I'll loan it to him. I'll give it to him. Whatever he can get out of it. From Christ as the mystery of God revealed, Brother Branham said, God's secret mystery that he had before the world began. Now back in the back part of God's mind, there was something that he was trying and was going to achieve, and he had a motive in doing it in order to let himself be expressed. Because first, there wasn't even a moon, star, atom, molecule, or anything. He was God. But exactly, he wasn't God at that time, because God is an object of worship and there was nothing to worship him. So in his great mind, he wanted these attributes to be expressed. And in him was love, and in him was to be Father, and in him was to be Son, in him was to be Savior, in him was to be Healer. And all these great attributes that we see already expressed, they were in God. Again from paragraph 58, he said, therefore the entire Bible is the revelation of God's mystery in Christ. Huh? The entire Bible is an expression of one goal that God had, one purpose he wanted to achieve in the entire Bible, and all the acts of the believers in the Bible has been in type and expressing what God's great goal is. So God expressed himself in Moses. God expressed himself in Joseph. God expressed himself in David. God expressed himself in Ezekiel. God expressed himself in Jeremiah. God expressed himself in Elijah and Elisha. That was an expression of God. God life. From paragraph 59, what was he doing? Identifying himself to these apostles, that all of the prophets and all of the Psalms and everything was him expressed. See? Paragraph 72, he was made to be judge of the sinner. If you don't accept it, he was made to He was made the glory for the believer who does accept it. Paragraph 78. He wanted to express himself. That was his. One of his great threefold purposes was to express himself, identifying himself with human beings, to reveal himself in Christ. And paragraph 80. He is a Savior. He had to express that. And how could he do it? Only through Christ. How could he be a son? Only through Christ. How could he be a healer? Only through Christ. See, all things were wound up in that one person, Jesus Christ. Oh my. Now, before we read from Ephesians chapter 3, I'm going to say something this morning that I believe is going to change the entire your entire world of understanding of what it means to speak of revelation. And I want you to listen attentively this morning, because if you do not listen, you may miss what I'm going to tell you. But if you listen carefully, you'll receive a new understanding of what revelation is, and thus what the new birth is all about. Because, Brother Branson, the new birth is a revelation. Now let's read what Paul says here in Ephesians 3, chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me to your word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. Now notice Paul speaks of revelation here, but it was not an intellectual thing that took place concerning Paul. Now let me ask you this question. What caused Paul to know and to thus change his mind concerning Christ? Now remember, Paul was wreaking havoc on the early Christian church, because in his mind they were teaching heretical doctrine. But something happened to Paul that changed his mind forever. Now, a mystery is something that is not fully understood, or that baffles or eludes the understanding. And Paul says in verse 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Or how that by revelation he made known to me the things which had been unknown, which had baffled my mind and the understandings of men. He had made known unto me the mystery of Christ. Now, before I begin to explain what took place here, let's just read a few other places where the Apostle Paul speaks of the mystery of Christ. Notice in the very next verse, verse 4, whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So Paul is telling us how that he has this knowledge of Christ. In Romans 16:25, Paul tells us this mystery has not been known to man since the world began, but it has the power, within this mystery, has the power to establish you. He says now in verse 25, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Then in Colossians 4 and 3 he says, without praying, 4 verse 3, withal praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. In other words, in bonds. In other words, this mystery has done something to me. It's made me a prisoner. Not an unwilling prisoner. A love slave. Now notice here, Paul is telling us that he is in bonds to this mystery of Christ. He says, the mystery of Christ for which I am also in bonds for us and thus a prisoner to it. Now a little further in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul tells us that this mystery that he received an understanding of is supposed to do something for us. Supposed to do something to us. And he calls it the fellowship of the mystery. Ephesians 3 and 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now we must ask ourselves, what is this fellowship of the mystery? What's he speaking of here? Well, fellowship is two fellows in a ship, according to Brother Bosworth. Brother Branham amended that definition. Right? So what does it mean? It means that understanding this mystery is not just for one person. And when we receive it, the results are that it will bring us together in fellowship around this mystery that is made known. So individually, this mystery, he says, will bind us like a prisoner. And although bound as a prisoner, it also brings us together in fellowship like a chain gang. Because we're tied together in it. That's what the fellowship of the mystery is. It's like a prisoner bound to one another, held together by this mystery, which we shall share in common. In Colossians 1:27, he tells us what this mystery of Christ is all about. He says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory, what is the riches of the doxa, what is the riches of his values, his opinion, his judgment, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Christ in you. The hope, the earnest expectation of the glory, of the doxa, of his values, his judgments, his opinions in you. Hallelujah. Now notice that the opinion, the values, the judgment of the mystery of Christ is that Christ is in you. And it is the hope of our earnest expectation of God's glory, or his opinion, his values, his judgments, being in us, expressing itself through us. Now I'm getting back to verse 1. Notice he tells us he is forever a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not unwillingly, but willingly. Nevertheless, he describes himself as a prisoner. Now, the Greek definition of the word prisoner, it means a band or a ligament. Isn't a ligament a body part? A ligament of the body, or a shackle of a prisoner that binds us as a chain or a string together. How is your body held together? Anybody remember that film we watched on the God in His universe? What are those little cross-shaped things called? Every fiber of your body is held together by the cross. Right? So Paul is a prisoner. He's connected. Like Brother Bram called it, a great umbilical of God coming down. Hallelujah. Giving you life. Giving you nourishment. In other words, he's letting us know that he is no longer his own man to come and go as he wishes. But rather, he is tied to this mystery along with others, and there is no way that we can remain in this mystery and be separate one from another. We are tied together like the ligaments of the body, is the definition that we just read. Now, usually we think of being a prisoner as something that's against our own will. But to be this kind of a prisoner, we must willfully give over our will to something greater than our will, and that is God's will. Jesus, a prisoner of God. He said, not my will, but thy will be done. In verse 3, he tells us that his own knowledge changed when this mystery was revealed to him. He says, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. So the thing we want to focus on this morning is, what is revelation? Because this revelation changed Paul. Now, I know in our mind, because we're Westerners, we think the word revelation means something in your mind, something intellectual, how much you can understand, how much you know. It has nothing to do with your knowledge. It has nothing to do with your education. Revelation doesn't mean that. Now, but the word revelation actually means a disclosure. In other words, an uncovering. The Greek word apokalypsis. And it means appearing, which means to make visible. And that means to make known by manifestation. Oh, really? Yes, really. When God appeared, that epiphania struck Paul blind. That light was greater than the sun. That was something made visible. And Paul was knocked off his high horse by a manifestation of Christ. The mighty God unveiled before us the great apocalypse, the great revelation of Jesus Christ, didn't come by a man sitting in a room with a tape recorder preaching some sermons. It came because we saw God in operation through a body, through a man called William Branham. You understand? It's an experience. It's an experience, brother, sister. It's not some mental delusion. It's something that we experienced in this hour. The experiential knowledge of God given to us. Hallelujah. The Greek word apocalypse means appearing, it means to make visible, and it means to make known by manifestation. So we see revelation is not simply a knowing as though it is some mental activity which can come by some man's intellect. But rather, revelation is the process of knowing by experiencing manifestation. So it has nothing to do with your education or how well you can explain something, but rather it comes by observation and watching the thing in manifestation. That which we've seen, which we've heard, which we've handled, the Word of God, the Word of life, he says. Huh? We've seen it, we've heard it, we've handled it. Three of the physical senses of this body partook of the manifestation of the life of God. That's right. Wasn't a mental exercise. Didn't learn it from a book. And that's Ephesians 1:17. Where Paul says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, the Father of doxa, the Father of his values, opinions, and judgments, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, opened up. That you may know what is the hope of this calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us, we who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. It all has to do with power and presence. Now notice something is supposed to happen. And it's not just a knowledge as though it was some intellectual thing that swept the nations. But something's supposed to take place. It is an experiential thing that we witness which brings understanding and knowledge of him. Now this wisdom is simply, the word wisdom simply means understanding. A true understanding. But notice the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, it says. So the Spirit comes or is given to us to bring not only wisdom, which is understanding, but revelation in the knowledge of him. So revelation is not understanding, because otherwise you'd say he comes in the spirit of understanding and understanding in the knowledge of him. And if we think knowledge is understanding, then he comes in the spirit of understanding and understanding and understanding of him. It's not what it says here. It's not mental, brothers, sisters. He comes in the spirit of wisdom, which is understanding, in the revelation, which is the manifestation, which is watching the thing manifest. And it brings that knowledge. And knowledge is not just here either. We're going to find out. So revelation is not understanding, as though it is a mental or cognitive thing. Otherwise, you are using two words to say the same thing. He did not say he gives us a spirit of understanding and understanding in the knowledge of him. And the word knowledge here does not mean understanding either. Otherwise, you'd read, he gives you the spirit of understanding and understanding and understanding in him. So let us look at revelation as understanding, nor knowledge as understanding. Because this word knowledge is translated from the Greek word epigenosko. And in Luke 1:34, Mary said, "How shall this thing be, seeing that I know that I genosko no man?" And the angel answered her and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Now notice her words. How can I be pregnant with child, having genoskoed no man? In other words, it was not a mental activity that got Mary pregnant. And she did not say, "How could I be with child, having not mentally known any man?" Well, if that's how you get pregnant, you sisters better be careful. Don't talk to anybody. But the word genosko means an experiential knowledge, a relationship. Having not had a relationship with any man, having not experienced in that certain way, that relational way, any man. Knowing based upon experience, not based upon intuitive or intellectual capacity. Now, I won't go so far as to say that this knowledge of hers, of her being with child, was with sensation. I don't have to even say that. But it certainly was by experience. Amen? Now, the definition of knowledge is to become fully acquainted with. And that doesn't mean that through talk either. Mary said, how can I be with child having known and no man? Having not had an intimate relationship or experience with any man. So when Paul speaks of the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, I said he's not speaking of a mental thing here. But rather, this spirit is to bring an understanding by an intimate relationship which comes by experiential knowledge. It's an experiential thing. Brother Branham said, how can you be born again and not know it? So this revelation Paul speaks of, which gives us understanding, is not a mental thing, but rather something that happens. Something that we have experienced, that gives us a knowledge based on relationship. How that by revelation he made known, he made experientially unto me the mystery. Now, as I mentioned before, we usually think that the word revelation has something to do with the mind. But the word revelation actually means disclosure or unveiling or uncovering. And to uncover means something has to happen. Something that was hidden has to be made known by something that takes place. Something that's manifested. The Greek word apokalypsis means appearing, which means to make visible. And that means to make known by manifestation. So we see revelation is not simply a knowing as though it is some mental activity which can come by man's intellect, but rather revelation is the process of knowing by experiencing the manifestation. Hallelujah. Now Brother Branham said in Christ is a mystery, he said a prisoner of Jesus Christ, Paul, a prisoner. See, when God gets you to be his prisoner, then you can't do nothing but what the Spirit says do. Paul, with all of his great intellects, he was taught by Gamaliel to be a great priest or rabbi someday. And he had high ambitions. He was intellectually a great man, a great authority, great man in the nation. But he had to sacrifice every bit of it, see, to become part of the Word, to express Jesus Christ. He knew what it was to say. He had a notion to go to some place. Some brethren had called him. But he was forbidden by the Spirit to do his own will. Oh, if people half spiritual can pick that up, see? He was forbidden to do his own will. He could only do it, the Spirit forbid me, he said. He was a prisoner of Christ. I hope that sinks in today. Notice he's speaking. Brother Bram speaking of Paul. And how it was not Paul's intellect that meant anything to God. It was not his intellect that brought on his change from Christ persecutor to Christ prisoner. Or to Christ expression. It was something he experienced. It was Christ coming into him, hallelujah, and changing him. Paul said in Galatians 2 and 20, I am crucified with Christ. Not I was crucified with Christ, but I am. Every day I'm crucified with Christ. I am present tense now, crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm living. Yet it's not I that's living. But Christ himself is living in me. And the life that I am now living in the body of this death, the life that I'm now living in this flesh, I'm living by the faith, by the revelation, not a mental thing. By the knowing, by experiencing the manifestation of the life of the Son of God in my flesh. Now I ask you the question. I don't ask for any hands. Is Christ living in you? How do you know it? How do you know it? Are you experiencing that life changing in you, that life-altering life in you? From Christ is the mystery God revealed, Brother Ramson, but now lack of this, now, and Paul, this great intellectual man, never tried to express his great theological terms upon the people. He humbly accepted the word of the Lord, and he lived the word so much that it expressed it. He lived so godly until they seen Jesus Christ in him so much, till they wanted his handkerchiefs to take it and lay upon the sick. There's the life of Christ. Too much focus on how much you know. It's not about how much you know, it's who you know. And who knows you. Again, from Christ is a mystery, Brother Bram said, now that's when he can express the preeminences, you see. He's got the man or the person so that he knows nothing but Christ. You get what I mean? All right. That's secondly. First, to express himself completely, God in Christ. Second, to have the preeminences by this in his church, which is his body, his bride. that he could have the preeminences to express himself through them. What's he saying? Preeminences. He's saying if Christ truly is the preeminent thing in your life, to where you've got rid of everything that conflicts, and Christ is the focus of your life, he says, then God can live your life for you. That's right. And thirdly, that he could have the preeminences to express himself through them. Is them plural? It's not one person. Oh, you know, we had God express himself through a man, William Branham. That's good enough for me. I'm going to ride on that. No, you're not. You won't make it with that understanding. I'm sorry. If God is not expressing his God life through you, you're not born again. You're not. You can talk it all you want to. Talk is cheap. Anybody can talk. Brother Branham said, he said, don't preach me a sermon. Live me one. You see? All right. And thirdly, to restore the kingdom to its rightly position that fell by sin by the first Adam back to where he walked in the cool of the evening with his people, talked with them, fellowshiped with them. And now sin and death had separated them from his presence and his entire expression. It's all about them. Let me tell you something. Jesus didn't die on the cross for himself. He died for you. And Christ died that you might live. And God wants you to die to yourself, that he might live again in you. From Christ's mystery, Brother Ram said, God became from God, and he became me, to take my sin upon him, that he might make me him. Amen. Back to his great purpose of sons and daughters of God. For he is the eternal Father. The attribute was in him, see? So that had to be displayed. Now see the whole threefold purpose, see? To express himself, he wants to become. Now notice, God wanting to express himself as sons and daughters. That's you and me. From Christ's mystery of God revealed, paragraph 115, he said, what do you think that I am now? Now there's a church he's talking to, see? What does man think that I am today? Oh, he's a philosopher, this social religion, he's a good man. We believe his teachings, right? It's a subject to be lived by. I think it makes us all better if we did. We ought to have our churches, our so forth, like Santa Claus story. It's not expression of some church that we should express something. It's a life that you don't live yourself. But he comes in you and lives by himself. And you become a prisoner to any human intellectual being at all. You're led by the Spirit. And how do you know? Oh, that's a good question. How do you know? In Colossians 3 and 4 says, when Christ, who is, not was, not will be, who is our life, when he shall appear, when he shall phaneru, when he shall manifest himself in his true character, then shall you also phaneru with him. You shall also manifest in your true character with him in glory, in doxa, in opinion, values, and judgment. So in the very next paragraph, Brother Branham, he just asked a question. And how do you know? How do you know is Christ living in you? How do you know? He says, if you have the mind of Christ, Christ expresses himself through you. But a real man is to lose his own thoughts and his own thinking, not come up blindly like that, like a person possessed of a devil. No, sir, you come up with your right senses and Christ takes you over and expresses himself. And now to the world, you're insane. You're just an insane person. And now if you're insane, you're actually insane, then there's nothing. Well, the devil can't take you in complete control. He will make you do everything contrary to his word. But when Christ takes you over, he will express that word right through you because it's him. He is the word, see? And then you can see the expression of Christ, not some illusion of some sort, but a real, genuine Christ expressing himself right through you. How beautiful. You see, John 14:12 is not about what you can do. Jesus never said. He said, the works that I do. And yet, when he defined the works, he said, I can't do nothing. I can't do anything but what the Father shows me to do. So he's saying, the same nature will be there in you to do only what the Father shows. And if the Father says, go do this, you go do that. You see? In Acts 17, verse 28, for in him we live, do we? And move, do we? And have our being, do we? As certain also of our poets have said, for we are his offspring. Philippians 2 and 13, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and then to do his good pleasure. Not doing first, but to will and to do. Because Jesus said, I didn't come to do my own will. So it was God in him, working in him to will, not my will, but thy will be done. Working in you to will and to do. Hallelujah. Paragraph 121. Well, you say, I'm a Lutheran, I'm a Baptist, I'm Presbyterian. That don't mean one, Brother Bram snaps his finger. That don't mean one thing to God. What is it? It's Christ being revealed. He is the Word. And when the Word is revealed, it expresses itself. So what is revelation? It's expression. When the Word is revealed, it expresses itself. See, that's God's purpose for Jesus Christ, was to express himself, to take his own laws and live by his own laws and fulfill his law by death. Now notice Brother Bram's words here. He said that when the Word is revealed, it expresses itself. So you can't have revelation apart from manifestation. So these people who say that they know that they have the Holy Ghost because they believe is like saying, since I believe, therefore I am filled. But that's placing the cart before the horse. I have the cart, therefore I have the horse too. Well, the devil believes and he trembles. Does he have the Holy Ghost, I ask you? Being able to parrot the doctrine doesn't mean that you're born of God for 1 minute. Listening to a certain preacher doesn't mean that you're born again for 1 minute. I can show you a denominational college, and it's called the Church of God, that teaches that there is one God and he had a son, and that son is not God, but he is the Son of God. They use systematic theology of Alva Huffer, and in it they state many of the same arguments that Brother Branham said concerning the Godhead. They have only one difference that I could find, and that was when the Son of God was birthed by God. Before the flesh or, before the foundation of the world or when he came in flesh. That's the only difference. Everything else they say the same. So to teach one God who had a son is no evidence. They are filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Jehovah Witnesses teach parousia. So that's no evidence of being filled with the Holy Ghost either. You say, well, the evidence is to believe the message for the day in which you live. Okay. Then what version of the message do you believe? Come on. Brother Branham said right before he took that final trip, from Tucson, he said, I believe there's something like 17 different versions of the message today. Or maybe it was 69, I don't remember. It's quite a few. And when people said that they believed every word Brother Branham said, you know what he said? He said, that only means you can read. That's right. So if it is knowing the doctrine or being able to teach it, if that proves somehow that you got it, then what about those denominational colleges that teach the same doctrine? And if denominationalism is the mark of the beast, then tell me how you can have the mark of the beast and the Spirit of God at the same time. Huh? Oh, we know the mark of the beast is denominationalism because we have a vindicated prophet who says so. From the world falling apart, paragraph 86, he said the denominational system is the mark of the beast. From God of this evil age, he said, to wear the brand of denominationalism is the mark of the beast. We've gone through that. We've been through it on here to do it. Flee it, children. Flee it. So Brother Ram said, from Christ is the mystery of God revealed. He said, so is Christ expressing himself in the individual, whether he's intellectual or whether he don't know his ABC. So he's not talking about one individual, because he's talking about whether an individual is an intellectual person or whether an individual is just a farmer, got the suspenders and not, you know. He says, whether you don't know his ABCs. Half the apostles didn't know them. So he's talking about more than one here. He said half the apostles didn't even know the ABCs. That's right. But they knew Christ. They never taken heed to Peter and John, knowing that they had been out of the seminary. They said that they had taken heed and noticed that they'd been with Christ. And when they healed the lame man, see, at the gate, they knew they had been with Christ. Now, how can you say that John 14:12, the works that I do, is only one man, William Branham, when Brother Branham himself said contrary over thousands of quotes? And how can you say it's only one man when Brother Branham himself said that the Acts of the Apostles was the works of Christ in the church? Now, from Christ as the mystery of God revealed, Brother Branham said, God is not known by education. He's not known by how to explain it. God is known by simplicity and the revelation of Jesus Christ in the most illiterate person. Not mental, again. They're illiterate. But it is the manifestation in view. God is known by simplicity and of revelation of Jesus Christ in the most illiterate person. See, not your theology. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. Upon this rock I'll build my church. No other rocks accepted. No other things accepted. No other Roman rock. No other Protestant rock. No other school. No other nothing. But on the revelation of Jesus Christ in a new birth. He's born in there and injects his own life. Injects like a needle. Injects his own life. And your life is gone. And the life of Christ is projecting, that means expressing, projecting itself through you with the preeminences to the people that they see the very life, the very works, the signs and wonders that he did, doing the same things through you. Outside of that, the rest of it's not even called to at all. So he says you could be illiterate, but if the works of Christ, the life of Christ is living in you, you know, because that expression is there. The expression of the manifestation, that's the revelation. Hallelujah. You can see Christ has changed your life. You can see that you're living in a way which is very supernatural to people who don't understand God and the way of God and the life of God. You pray and you get answers to your prayer. You lay hands on the sick and those people somehow, miraculously, are healed. God shows you not to go down a certain way because you don't know why, but you don't go down there and there's a train wreck or whatever it is. Sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Not by what they fear that man might say if they don't follow the way man is. So outside of that, what have you got, my brothers and sisters? If he has not injected you with his very life, and if that life is not projecting itself in you and through you, all you have is theology, and that is possibly a big tithe check that might merit you something in somebody's church. But it simply means nothing to God. Brother Branham said, from Christ is the mystery of God revealed, paragraph 124, says the new birth is Christ. It is a revelation. It's something that's been manifested and it's expressed and you've caught it. God has revealed to you this great mystery and that's the new birth. Now what are you going to do when you get all of that group together where the revelation is perfectly in harmony and God expressing it through his word by the same actions, the same things that he did, making the word manifest? Oh, if the church only knew its position, it will one day, then the rapture will go when it knows what it is. Now notice you say, well, Brother Brown, but that ain't... Oh, yes, it is. It's the truth. What are you going to do when you see a group of people that are beginning to live the very life of Christ? Because it's not them doing it. It's God using their body. And then he says, where the revelation is perfectly in harmony. Now remember, revelation is manifestation. So in other words, the lives are lined up with his life. They're expressing the same thing. And God is expressing it through his word by the same actions, the same things that he did, making the word manifest. Hallelujah. That's what I'm looking for. I'm not looking to sit here and dry up with some theology. Now notice his language, he says. It's not intellectual. It's not how much you know or how well you can teach. He says, where the revelation is perfectly in harmony and God expressing it through his word by the same actions, the same things that he did, making the word manifest. Now notice Brother Branham uses this word express three dozen times or more in this sermon alone. And it means to convey a thought or feeling by words or by gestures or conduct. Didn't Jesus say, the words that I speak, my Father commanded me what to say, and thus I speak? Didn't Jesus say, the works that I do, my Father showed me what to do, and that I did? The things that I do, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He sees the Father do, that the Son doeth likewise. The Father worketh, and the Son worketh hitherto. 36 times in this sermon alone, Brother Branham uses the word express, and that means to convey a thought or feeling by words or by gestures, that's your actions, or your conduct, that's the way you live. And Brother Branham said, God expressing it through His Word by the same actions, the same things that He did, making the Word manifest. Now, if that isn't John 14:12 in Scripture, you tell me what Scripture that is. Jesus said, the things that I do, the believer shall do also. Is that not what Jesus said? Oh, you say, well, no, He didn't say that. He said, the works that I do. Well, God's vindicated prophet quotes it as the things that I do 414 times. Now listen, what things? Listen to what God's prophet says as I read a few quotes in closing. From Christ's mystery, God revealed, He said, and then the word moves on down into the body from the head. What is it? It's the same word. Nothing can be added to it or taken from it. So the same word moves from the head as the day comes to a close, down into the body, vindicating that they are one. Their husband and wife, their flesh of His flesh, word of His word, life of His life, spirit of His spirit. See, amen. How do you know it? Now, that's a good question. Because we got people who think that they know it, that they got it, but they haven't got anything to base it on except that, well, they think that they know it. They think they got it. But notice He said, how do you know it? He said, it bears the same record. It's the same fruit. It's the same word. See? It manifests Christ. Same life. Same God. Same spirit. Same word. Same book. Amen. Same signs. The things that I do, shall you do also. Oh my. Hallelujah. That's what the prophet said. From the Queen of Sheba. He said, the Bible said that no man can call Jesus the Christ only by the Holy Ghost. If you've never received the Holy Ghost, you don't know that He's the Christ yet. Now remember, you're only walking towards that light. You can say, well, my pastor says so, that's true. My Bible says so, well, that's true. My mother says so, well, that's true. My church believes it's the Holy Ghost, well, that's true. But what about you? As an individual, you don't know until you've received it. And when you receive the Holy Ghost, then you are a witness that He's alive forevermore. Now, the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost is now within you. And then you watch Him as He works. Where? In you. If the life of Christ is in you, it will produce His life in you. The works that I do, shall you do also. The same works. The same works. Because it's the same life. People are afraid of that word works. They think, they're trying to make themselves, push themselves into something. No, I'm just saying, die. Die to yourself. Let go. Let God. We're not talking about doing the Messiah sign. That's not for us. We're not prophets. But we're sons of God. And the same life that motivated Jesus, moved Jesus, is going to motivate you and move you. The works that I do, shall you do also. The same works, because it's the same life. If the life of in a watermelon vine produces a watermelon, well, and the next branch that comes out, it'll produce another watermelon. Every time it'll be a watermelon. And if the church is really anchored in Christ, every church will write a book of Acts behind it. That's exactly right, because the first one wrote a book of Acts behind it. So there we are. So where are the book of Acts? If Christ be with us, where are all the miracles? Now come on. If Christ be with us, then where is the character of Christ? Where is the life of Christ? From the message, hear ye Him. He said, that's the reason He could smile here. Jesus had carried out every word of it. That's it. He carried out just exactly to the word now because He was that perfect Son. And He is the same, and He died to become the vine that we might become the branch. That He can energize us with His life to make the same life that He had living in us. Then we'll do the very same thing. Jesus said in St. John 14:12, He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. How simple. It doesn't take rocket science. It doesn't even take intellect to know that if Jesus said the same thing I'm doing, you're going to do. Then it's got to be done. Jesus Christ the same. And look, we proved it in that series on He That Believeth. 19 verses of Scripture says, He that believeth on me. And we proved that it's the same Greek words for he that believeth on me. And the word he, we showed you from the Greek, is that little circle with a little accent mark over it. And if you take that character and you translate it, you bring it over to Google Translation, it says son. So he is a son. Son that believeth on me. The things that I do shall he do also. Why? Because it's a law of life. Every seed after his kind. Jesus Christ was the example seed, Brother Brown said. The spoken word is the original seed. And if it's an original seed, there's other seeds. Right? That's what original means. Huh? That's what all the seeds come off of. Hallelujah. From Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, Brother Brown said, if a Christian church is the vine or the branch that's in Christ, they'll do the works of Christ and bear the life of Christ. By their fruits you shall know them. Now then, the way that he is today, he's here in the form of the Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit, working through his church, performing the same things that he did there. That makes him the same yesterday, today, and forever. His life, the life that was in Christ, which was God, produced the kind of life that he's lived then. That same life comes into his churches, plural, his church members, plural, since they have been purged by his blood and given the Holy Spirit access to work through them, bears the same fruit that he bore. So therefore the world can see that Christ Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. From the darkest hour that Jesus comes, Brother Bram said, now God gave his Spirit without measure. He gives it to you and I by measure. He measured me out a spoonful, but when he measured it out to his son, he measured the whole ocean. See what I mean? But notice the same chemicals that's in the spoon is in the whole ocean. And all the chemicals in the ocean is in, or a measure of them is in this spoon. It's the same kind, see? It'll do the same thing. It'll do the same works. It'll produce the same life. Don't you believe that? That's what makes us Christians. In the early church, they called them Christians because they were Christ-like. And we've got churches, even in this message, that should be the most Christ-like in all the nations. And we've got just fussing and bickering and going on and on, and people living their own lives, and just, you know, preachers just mounting up as much as they can for themselves, and the people doing the same thing and not living for one another. Brother Brown said eternal life is living for one another, living for others. They called them Christians because they were Christ-like. From faith once delivered to the saints, he said, now if Jesus Christ, God's Son, said, these signs shall follow them that believe, the works that I do shall you do also, these things that I do, you'll do it also. Notice Brother Brown quotes it as, these things that I do shall you do it also. I'll be with you even to the end of the world. Then the disciples followed right behind Christ, doing the very same things that he did. That's right, exactly. When they found out that Peter and John were ignorant and unlearned men, they wasn't educated, neither were they smart. But they hadn't taken notice that they had been with Jesus, because the Spirit that was in Jesus was in them, doing the same things Jesus did, taking the same kind of motive, and everything that Jesus had, that's what they had. You don't have to be smart. You don't have to have an education. You just have to be a willing heart. God sends his faith down. His faith is power. Hallelujah. And several more and we'll close. From five identifications, he said John 14:12. He gives the teaching what the church should do. In John, the 14th chapter, 12th verse, we'll see what he says. John 14:12. So we read it, make it official. All right, John 14th and 12th verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. That's the message for the church. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, living in the church, King of the church, raised from the dead, same yesterday, today, and forever, forever performing the same works, doing the same things that Jesus did. That's the message of the church. If the church isn't teaching that, it's teaching some false theology. That's what Jesus commanded them to preach. What are we going to do with that, brother, sister? From Christ revealing his own word, he said, but the only way that you're saved is by knowing him by revelation. I can take the Presbyterian doctrine and tie you Pentecostals up with that. I can take the Baptist doctrine and show you Pentecostals a million things that you know nothing of. That's right. But that's not it. That's not his church. That's not his church. His church is himself revealed. Amen. Do you see it? And expressed by the word itself that he is God. It doesn't matter how much, how well you know every single verse, and you can just tie people's brains in knots and they think, oh, you're so great. The devil is greater than any preacher. as far as knowing this word. He knows every verse in Scripture. He knows it better than any preacher, any teacher, any apostle. It's not how God's known. He said the revelation of God. He said it's known. His church is himself revealed, expressed, manifested. From Christ's mystery, he said, and Paul knew him by revelation. That's how we know him today. It's the only way that you can know him. Not say, I'm Methodist, that means nothing. I'm Baptist, that means nothing. I'm Catholic, that means nothing. But by the revelation that God has revealed to you, the Word to you. He is the Word, and the Word, how you know it's revealed, it lives itself and expresses itself through you. Twice in this sermon he says that. In fact, more than that. He says, how do you know it's revealed? That's the key. You got everybody in this message talks about revelation. And everybody thinks, well, because I believe God sent a prophet, and I believe what Brother Branham said, that I've got the Holy Ghost, and no, you don't. Or I heard this preacher preach, and I got the Holy Ghost when I heard this preacher preach. No, you didn't. You know when you got the Holy Ghost, when you see the life of Christ is in you, changing you. And your whole desire, your whole motive, your whole objective is Christ-centered. That's when you know. And if it's not, brother, sister, I would say get to the altar. We'll lay hands on you. You want the Holy Ghost. I was listening to 1972. Brother Vail was preaching a sermon on how do you get the Holy Ghost. He was laying hands on everybody to receive the Holy Ghost. It's in the Bible. Brother Rand says it's in the Bible. We can do it. Paul knew him by revelation. And how do you know that he's revealed to you? It lives itself and expresses itself through you. From Christ is the mystery of God revealed, 179, he's expressing himself. That's his purpose. That's why he died. That's the second fold of his threefold manifestation. First, to express himself in Christ, then to express himself through the church, and the same thing. Christ was the Word, and the church becomes the Word when it lets the Word go through them. Paragraph 220. When I think of it, it makes me shiver. Oh, to live with him. Going home with him, to live with him. Going home with him, to live with him forever. Amen. Eternal life. This is God's great mystery of love expressed, that God and man become one. See, the whole thing is God and man one. God and man was one there, and God and man is one here. See what it is? Being filled with his Spirit, him having the preeminences, that was God's achievement. That's God's purpose to do that, that he might be in Christ and Christ in us and all of us together one. Wasn't that John 17? Father, I pray that they will be one, even as, or in the same way that you and I are one. And I've given them thy word that they might be one. I've given them thy glory, thy doxa, thy opinions, thy values, thy judgment, so that they can be one, even as you and I are one. The Holy Spirit, same thing that revealed it to Christ, reveals it here, the supernatural creative power. And from 226, his presence in the individual with a personal vindication of himself, expressing himself, the living word that's promised for the day, expressing itself through you, a vindication of the great revelation of God. Look, only in an individual, never in a group, an individual, not in a group. His identification is with an individual. You get that? Not with the Methodist, not with the Baptist, not with the Presbyterian, not with the Lutheran, not with the Pentecostal, but as an individual. I'll take one and I'll leave one. I'll separate them. That's right. There'll be two in the field. I'll take one and leave one. There'll be two in the bed. I'll take one and leave one. It's not a group. It is a personal vindication of a pregnated child of God, filled with the Holy Ghost, so surrendered to God that he don't care about anything else, and the Holy Spirit living its life, pulsating through him, showing the personal vindication of the Word itself, expressing itself to the people and to the world. Oh God, may your purpose and plan, oh God, be in each of us. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we are so thankful, Father, that we can understand that revelation is not some mental ability, but revelation is your life manifesting and expressing itself through our being. And when we see it, and feel it, and taste it, and smell it, and hear it, and see it's the same life yesterday, today, and forever, then we have a true knowledge of a birth. And so, Father, we just pray for each child in here, each son of God, each daughter of God, no matter what the age, that we would surrender ourselves in such humility that we could truly say that we truly have been born again, not by the things that we know, but by the life that we've surrendered to.
the life that is expressing itself, the life that is now living in the body of this death. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. And Father, I pray, before it's too late, that this message will go out and change the hearts and lives of your children everywhere. We pray, Father, that we would no longer look to organization, no longer look to a certain doctrine or a certain creed or dogma, but that we would look to you, because your Son said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. So, Father, may we lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, not only in the things that we preach, but in the life that we live. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's sing that song, I Surrender All. All to Jesus, I surrender. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I bow, worldly pleasure all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender. Make me Savior, wholly Thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit. Truly know that Thou art mine. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessings fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender now. I feel that sacred flame. Oh, the joy of my salvation. Glory, glory to His name. I surrender.